Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Economics podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I'm Sean Gibson, Bruegel's press officer, and joining me for today's episode is Bruegel director Guntram Wolf. Today, we're going to discuss some of the central talking points at the meeting this week of the European Council. If we could look first, perhaps, at the EU budget and the issue of the next multi-annual financial framework, Guntram. What are the main factors for consideration? Where's the short-term and long-term future of the EU budget discussions?
Well, the European Council, so the heads of state and government, will debate the multi-annual financial framework, which is the budgetary framework for the period 21 to 27. So it's a seven-year period. Multi-annual financial framework that is being debated. So it's about a lot of money, and to come to a consensus, one actually needs unanimity in the European Council, and one needs an agreement by the European Parliament, so a vote by the European Parliament. So a lot of political considerations, a lot of compromises will have to be struck, and this debate is basically starting now in the European Council. Now, that debate starts against the background of course, on the one hand, Brexit. So the United Kingdom is leaving the financial framework, and the estimates is that this will mean approximately 10 billion less per year available for redistribution. The net payment of the UK was expected to be around 10 to 12 billion. Now, that's missing. Now, the second important aspect that is added is that the European Union has a lot of new priorities. So there is has been an increase already in the current MFF on border control, border protection. There has been a decision to beef up defense spending. There has been a decision to move on other files as well. So. And everybody talks about how important it is that Europe delivers on these so-called public goods. Now, the Commission has come out with a communication last week, actually documenting that some of these things can be, especially if we want to do them right, quite expensive. I give you one example. Take border control, Frontex. Frontex currently has 1,000 employees, and the cost for the entire MFF would be, so the entire seven-year period would be around 4 billion. Now, the Commission says, well, basically, that's not a serious amount of money. If we want to do it seriously, at least we should talk of 8 billion. But if we really want to do it well, we should talk about 20 to 25 billion for a seven-year period. That would allow Frontex to hire 3,000 people instead of just 1,000 people, so 3,000 employees, which is still very little compared to, let's say, 60,000 border control officers that the United States has. So this is money that will have to be found. So we are having the double problem. We are having less money because of Brexit. We are having these new priorities, which means more spending. So the gap in the budget is actually easily much more than the 10 billion that the UK leaves, but perhaps it's 20 billion because we have the new priorities. So then the question is, can the pie grow, or will something else be cut? There the political fight is, of course, very, very strong. The Commission in its communication for this European Council is saying, well, perhaps we should cut somewhere. We should cut a bit on the cohesion funds. Perhaps we should cut a bit on agriculture, which are the two big spending pots. Now, of course, the lobbyists for the regions have already done a lot of work to prevent that, and the lobbyists for the pharma industry are doing the same thing. At the same time, I think member states have said, especially the Netherlands has been very clearly saying, we don't want to increase the size of the budget. The Netherlands is even insisting on the old rule of 1% of Eurozone national income. So basically, it's a huge political fight about the size of the budget, where money will be cut, and how much money will be channeled to the new priorities.
So if there is going to be this this gap in the budget, as you've outlined, which member states on which member states will this responsibility to plug the gap fall?
Well, I mean, so one obvious country that everybody looks at is the largest net payer currently. That's Germany. So net payer Germany currently is paying roughly 13 to 14 billion per year as a net payer into the EU budget. The commissioner for budget affairs, so the German commissioner, Günther Oettinger, has already been public in a German tabloid Bild, saying Germany should pay another 3.5 billion in addition to what it currently pays. Now, I think that actually sounds quite on the low side, given that the gap is perhaps 15 to 20 billion. But okay, if the Commission starts with that number, Germany in the end may not even pay the 3.5 billion in addition. So we may end up filling only half of the gap in the budget or even less. And that means very logically that we will have to cut in agriculture and we will have to cut in cohesion funds. And the big fight there is, where do you cut? And I think one suggestion on the agricultural side is certainly to improve the way we fund green agriculture. The European Court of Auditors has made a devastating analysis of the current processes and has basically shown that the green funding hasn't delivered. So I think there's a lot of scope to save and improve there. There's the Commission itself says, well, perhaps we should cut on the spending for the big farms and support only the small farmers. So there, this debate is in full swing. And on the cohesion, the big question is, should richer countries, richer regions, continue to get funding, yes or no? And if they don't continue to get funding, well, then actually the East German Länder will be affected. Catalonia will be affected, which is actually very interesting, and many Catalans are starting to be worried. Not only they think they pay too much to Spain, but now they may actually get less from Europe back. So it's very, very controversial, this debate. But I think if one wants to really fund these new priorities, such as defense and border control and climate policies, one has to probably cut or find other sources of funding, and that's the whole own resource discussion, which is extremely controversial and where many member states have huge reservations against.
On another major topic of discussion at this council meeting, the Spitzenkandidaten process of electing a new commission president based on the preference of the majority party in parliament. What are the main points of contention? What will be the main arguments at this council meeting?
Well, the Spitzenkandidaten process has been is a new process. It's not really inscribed in the EU treaties. It's an interpretation of the EU treaties that was first used with the current Commission President, Jean-Claude Juncker. Jean-Claude Juncker became a Commission President because the EPP, so the Conservative Party, became the largest European party in the European Parliament. And so since all the parties had agreed before the election that they would elect the biggest, the largest party candidate, Jean-Claude Juncker was elected, and the Council, the European Council, was actually forced to basically nominate him because the Parliament was threatening and saying, well, if you nominate someone else, we will not endorse him. Now, member states and many intellectuals have very different views on whether that has worked, that system, or not. It has made the Commission more political, which some people like, some people like much less and dislike, actually. And so the member states on Friday in the European Council have to discuss, do they want that kind of a system or not? The European Parliament again has given the view and the opinion that they want to continue with the process. The Commission has slightly modified the tone and has said, well, what we need really is we need majorities. So not the largest party, but we need majorities. And I think that actually makes sense. We need majorities. It could very well be that, not a centrist party is the largest party. And so then you still want a majority. After all, prime ministers are based on majorities, not on the largest party usually. So majority, I think that is a shift that makes sense. And you need a majority, of course, in both chambers, if you wish. You need it in the European Council and you need it in the Parliament. And I think the European Council will give a clear message that it does not accept a unique leadership of the Parliament. So it in this power struggle between the European Parliament and the member states, the European Council will, I think, clearly say, yes, we will take account, as the treaty says, of what the Parliament says, but we also have a vote. And so it really needs to be a compromise candidate based on a majority in both chambers.
Well, thanks very much, Guntram. I think that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening to the Sound of Economics podcast. If you're interested in any more of Bruegel's work, we have a range of blogs and papers written by our scholars available on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again for the Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.